We continue two lines up from the bottom on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, the middle of this discussion of this Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir about the source, the Makor for Nosin Tam Lefgam. Rabbi Meir says Nosin Tam Lefgam is Usur. He learns it from Klei Milyon, Ge'ili Ovdei Kochavim. And now the Gemara is going to ask Rav Shimon's source for Ge'ili Ovdei Kochavim. The Gemara asks, for Rav Shimon, my time, what's Rav Shimon's source for Nosin Tam Lefgam? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela Lager Asher Bisharecha. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to consume a Nevela, so who can have a Nevela? It's Lager Asher Bisharecha. That it's only for a non-Jew. Here, a ger doesn't mean a convert. It means a stranger in your gates. A non-Jew can have the Nevela, but you can't. It's not kosher. So what do we do with this Pasuk? So the Gemara says as follows. Or Rav Shimon says as follows: Kol haru'uya lager kruya nevela. If it's fit for consumption for a non-Jew because it tastes good, that's called a nevela. But it can even lose its status of a nevela if it doesn't taste good, which is she'ain ru'uya lager. If it's not fit for consumption by a non-Jew, then it's not even ain't a kruya nevela. It's no longer called a nevela. So what is it then? Well, it says that we're not allowed to eat a nevela. Give it to a ger sher b'sharecha. But if it's no longer fit for consumption, even by a ger, it's no longer called nevela. You know what it is? It's mutter. You're not going to want to eat it because it's disgusting, but it's technically permissible because it's nosin tam lefgam, and nosin tam lefgam is mutter. But what's interesting about this source is as follows. We're trying to prove the case of nosin tam lefgam in general. So this teaches us that if the item itself becomes nosin tam lefgam, we get it. That item you can eat. But if you take a piece of food, which is nosin tam lefgam, and you throw it into a pot of food, and it affects the food a little bit, right? We already said it doesn't need to affect it completely. It doesn't need to be nosin tam lefgam kulo, even if it's nosin tam lefgam ktsas. It's pugma purta, that's going to make the dish nosin tam lefgam, and you'll be able to continue consuming it. So how do you see from this pasuk that when you take a nosin tam lefgam item and you put it into a dish that's only pogim ketzas, that it's going to be usher to eat? In other words, if you gave this dish to somebody, it wouldn't be considered ein ru'i leger, because it's edible. It just doesn't taste that great, because there's a little bit of a pagima, but it's different than the proof here is where you have an item which completely becomes disgusting. So how do you make sense of this? The Ran addresses this question here, comes up with an interesting nuance to the halacha, which he says the Rashba argues. The Ran writes as follows. The Ran says, what if the iser, which doesn't taste so good, that you place into the rest of the dish, is so large that you get so much more benefit from the fact that it's a huge meal, even though it's the flavor is pogame, even though the flavor doesn't taste so great, but I'm actually glad that it's a bigger dish, right? Sometimes you go to certain restaurants, this is not the best example, but a parallel, you go to a fast food restaurant, they give you a huge plate of food, and it's not that great, but it's so filling. Sometimes you go to a fancier restaurant, they'll give you a small piece, which is amazing. So what about here, where you have a dish now that's a massive dish, but there's a bit of pagima? Do we say that the fact that this item, which is pogame, that's mixed into the dish, because it added volume, it's actually considered nosin tam l'shvach, or at least it's not nosin tam lefgam, even though it imparts a bad taste? So the Ran said, I would assume that that would be considered usser if the volume outweighs the bad taste. I would say then that's a case of nosin tam l'shvach, and it would be usher, but the Rashba disagrees and says, no, once the item gives off a nosin tam lefgam, I don't care how much volume it adds to it. It's a nosin tam lefgam, and therefore the dish will still be usher. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Meir, how does Rabbi Meir deal with this raya of lo soch l'kol nevela? Rabbi Meir, ahu l'mu'utei srucha meikara. No, that's talking about a case where it was srucha meikara. it was something which was disgusting to begin with. We're not talking about an item which was edible and then became inedible. It was already inedible. It was already pogim from the beginning. So, and that's why the Torah tells us, if it was pogim from the beginning, you can't eat it. Give it to a ger. So Rabbi Shimon says, what? Rabbi Shimon, srucha meikar lo tzricha. Miuta afra ba'almahu. You don't need a mute. You don't need a pasuk to tell us that something that's srucha meikar, that's disgusting from the beginning, is going to be permissible to eat because it's no same tam lefgam. You don't need it. Of course it's no same tam lefgam because it's considered like dust, like afra ba'almahu. It's nothing. And therefore, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that in that case of Surucha Meikara. So there is the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Again, Rabbi Meir learns his source from Igulei Ofti Kachavim. Rabbi Shimon learns it from Lasoch Lekol Nevela. And Mirut Hashem on Samaches, we're going to continue this discussion further of Nosin Tam Lifgam.